Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. It seems like just last week that we were talking with sports contributor Sean Ramft about the Brewers and the Major League Baseball playoffs. And in fact, it was just last week. The Brewers swept the Colorado Rockies 3-0 to move on to the National League Championship Series.
They'll take on the Los Angeles Dodgers in a best-of-seven series that opens tonight. At stake is a berth in the World Series, which would be the Brewers' first since 1982. Sean Ramft joins us again with an NLCS preview. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me back. So soon.
Well, and you're back so soon because things went exactly as hoped for the Brewers.
Yeah, maybe better than hoped. I don't know if you can keep expecting them to sweep everybody, but 11 in a row now.
11 games in a row, and they held a fairly heavy-hitting Colorado Rockies team to scoring in one inning of the series.
One inning out of 28 and two runs total. You can't get much better than that. It's been fun.
It has been fun, and so let's talk a little bit about what transpired over the course of those three games in the division series. We had been talking before the last interview about who the Brewers were likely to start in Game 1. We had not anticipated that the Brewers would do their everybody-from-the-bullpen pitches in a playoff series Game 1.
No. If anything, I think I said last week I expected them to do that against the Cubs in the tiebreaker. I did not expect them to start Game 1, and it worked out just about as well as it could have. I'm pretty sure the only arm they didn't want to use was Soria, and he only had to go an inning anyway. And then they got great performances, exactly what they needed out of Wade Miley and Chacin in Games 2 and 3. So they're firing on all cylinders. The bullpen is unhittable at the moment, but we do know that their opponent is a little bit more loaded on offense than these Rockies are.
They also have a fairly well-rested starting pitching staff at this point.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. Chacin has started on short rest, I think, two starts in a row now, which he had never done before. But what we've seen all season with the Brewers, they don't really pay too close of attention to how many innings their starters are going to go. They have a certain number of outs they want them to get. And in the tiebreaker and against Colorado in Game 2, Chacin didn't have to pitch that many. He didn't have to throw that many pitches. So he's well-rested.
It's also potentially a longer series. I mean,
right.
It will be a longer series because it's best of seven,
yeah.
Which makes pitching staffs a little bit more complicated.
And they have to be a little more careful with their bullpen. I know they've been relying on it all year. It's been working all year, and I'm not going to throw out the word, overworked or anything, because they clearly know what they're doing at this point. They'll probably carry an extra pitcher this time around as opposed to the division series, I'd imagine, just because the series is guaranteed to go longer, and they might need that extra arm.
All right, so let's look ahead to the 4-7 games that the Brewers have ahead of them against the Los Angeles Dodgers, and start in a weird place with a guy that was a backup journeyman catcher who was little known maybe even to Brewers fans before the last series began. What's Eric Kratz mean to this team?
Five hits in the NLDS and huge hits in the NLDS. I don't know what to say about Eric Kratz, 38-year-old catcher, a Phillies legend, I guess, is where he spent most of his time. He's
pretty much a backup catcher his whole career.
Oh, yeah, his entire career. And he's helped a lot with the pitching staff as far as catching them goes. He's not going to throw many runners out behind the plate. And his bat is normally not something you worry about, but he had a fantastic series. And even if that's all they get out of him at the plate, going the rest of the way, I don't think you can be too upset about that.
Seems like every playoff series, there is somebody who has heretofore been under the radar who finds their opportunity and makes the most of it.
Yeah, and I know a lot of Brewers fans get frustrated with Hernan Perez as well. He had a couple huge hits in Game 2. It seems like everyone that you don't expect is starting to show up, which is good because while the Brewers did sweep Colorado and limit them offensively, their offense didn't come alive until the end of Game 3. They had a lot of chances to score, but no one else was making those big plays. So if you guys can get production out of folks like Perez and Kratz at the bottom of the order, you're looking pretty good, assuming the rest of the bats come along.
Well, and so the last time we talked about Colorado's surprisingly strong starting pitching staff. And honestly, Colorado did not pitch badly in the NLDS. But Los Angeles has a pitching staff of a slightly different caliber.
Correct. Because there was no Game 5 between the Dodgers and Braves, it'll be Clayton Kershaw. And depending on how long the series goes, he will probably make a second start. And knowing how they've used him in the past, if it goes all seven, we can probably expect to see him in some capacity in Game 7. So, and behind him, you have Ryu, who is coming off an excellent start. As for Kershaw, he just made his best postseason career start against the Braves. So as a Brewers fan, that's not exactly what you want going into this one. Their bullpen isn't great, but they have their starters are accustomed to going longer into games, and that's usually how they're set up. So it's going to be different than the Rockies. I'm still confused as to why Colorado didn't start Freeland in Game 3. I think the Brewers dodged a bullet there, but they have to face a few more in L.A. that are a little scarier than what the Rockies threw out there.
The Dodgers also have a pretty stacked batting lineup featuring not one, not two, maybe three or four sluggers.
Right, and it seems like Manny Machado is getting hot at the right time for L.A., and that's just one of the names. Justin Turner, he's had a down year. He's been injured, but he's still Justin Turner.
And maybe a guy that is the Brewers' equivalent or the Dodgers' equivalent of Eric Kratz, Max Muncy,
yes,
who was plucked out of obscurity
except
and hit 35 home runs this year.
The course of the entire season, who continues to hit home runs now. So, and you have to worry about Grandel's power, the catcher behind the plate, too.
Yasiel Puig.
Puig's getting hot also. Their lineup is loaded. The Brewers have a lot of power, though. So they match up okay. It's going to be a different series. And I know the Dodgers are probably, despite the Brewers having the best record in the National League and having home field advantage, it's easy to see why folks would side with the Dodgers in the best of seven. But at this point, I mean, Milwaukee's won 11 in a row. You can't discount them. It's going to be a series, you'd assume. But yeah, it's going to be difficult. It's not going to be a walk in the park as they made it look with Colorado somehow. it's been interesting.
And hopefully the announcing team for the Brewers series will be a little bit more in command of things than Bob Costas and Jim Cott.
We're just asking for basic research here.
For folks who missed it, there were quite a few inaccuracies.
Yeah, adding an A to Aguilar's name and calling him Jesus Aguilara, that was one. Adding accents where there weren't any, not saying the accents when there were. In Orlando Arcia and other examples as well.
They must have been relieved every time Eric Kratz came up.
Yeah,
to
it's a very simple name. You know? I mean, he spells his name with a K, but you don't have to say that with any special in any special way. It was rough. He also said Craig Counsell was drafted by the Brewers. He was drafted by the Rockies. Just little things. It was constant throughout Game 3, but hopefully they put their slightly more, I mean, I'm not going to say slightly more informed team, just a team that prepares a little bit better for this big series. It is the NLCS, so, you know, it's kind of important.
Let's talk a minute about the ALCS, the Red Sox and the Astros. For years, the Astros were a team with playoff futility. That is clearly not the case anymore. This ought to be a pretty interesting series as well.
It should be. When they tore it down, they tore it all down and didn't win more than 55 games for a few years at a time. And now, just against Cleveland, you get to send out Justin Verlander, Garrett Cole, and Dallas Keuchel in a sweep, what ended up being a sweep. Boston led the league, had the best record in baseball this season, but I don't know. The Astros just don't look like they want to lose at this time of year. They don't look like they can lose. Cleveland played in a down division. No one else in the AL Central finished above 500, but they still have a pretty formidable team, and Houston toyed with them a little bit. Cleveland hung in there for a couple of games, and then it just got crazy.
And you know, here's where, as usual, I out myself as a Red Sox fan. I think Red Sox fans saw the 108 wins and somehow still went into the playoffs concerned about the team's bullpen.
Yes. They still have Craig Kimbrell. He did struggle with his command in Game 4 against the Yankees. but they need to get it to Craig Kimbrell first. Fortunately, they do have a pretty deep starting rotation, assuming everyone stays healthy. David Price doesn't seem to start games well in the postseason, but it looks like he'll be available in relief if need be, and he's been fine in that role as well. Chris Sale, you'll probably see him at least start one and probably come in as a reliever at some point. We saw that in the Yankees series.
Rick Porcello seems like he's healthy.
Yeah, and he can do both things as well. So they have the starters to get it to Kimbrell, but that little bridge beforehand will be tough. And also, Houston's lineup is loaded. So is Boston's, though. It should be a fun series. You never know. It could also end up being one that some team just gets hot and wins 4 out of 5 or sweeps them. But it should be interesting.
All right. So if you were going to put your prediction hat on for both of these series, what are you thinking in the NLCS?
In the NLCS, at this point, I can't bet against the Brewers. So I really think somehow the Brewers will get out of the NLCS and into the World Series. I'm not going to put a game limit on it. I'm not going to guarantee
the Brewers in 9.
I'm not going to guarantee a sweep or anything like that. I think though that they're somehow going to make it to the World Series.
And the ALCS?
I am leaning towards Houston. That is what I am leaning towards.
So you were thinking we might see a Milwaukee-Houston World Series.
A Milwaukee-Houston World Series. It would be fun. I don't know if that's the one MLB particularly wants. I'm sure they would love LA-Boston, and Houston's a pretty big market too, but Boston-LA would be huge for them.
It is amazing to think that in the history of Major League Baseball, how long those two teams, the Red Sox and the Dodgers, have been around, and they have never played each other
no.
in a World Series.
No, and they've both been very good now for a stretch, and this could easily be that year where it happens, but I am picking Houston, Milwaukee.
All right, and I am diplomatically not picking anybody. Sean Ranft, hopefully we will be talking again soon and previewing the World Series.
Absolutely. Thanks again.
Sean Ranft is the managing editor of The Sports Post and our regular sports contributor. The Brewers open the National League Championship Series this evening at Miller Park against the Dodgers.